listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 16, featuring a conversation with Steve Knight, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang, and today I am on the go, so I'm recording this in the car, so you may hear a little bit of ambient noise more than usual. Like the band that has recorded a video on YouTube and featured on Jimmy Kimmel Live by surprise, Monsters Calling Home. I too am recording in this car because I do not have access to a studio and I don't have a home studio to set up. And what I'm doing here with this podcast at this point is not to turn it into a production level, commercial, money-making, sustainable kind of effort. The point here is to get the message out because it's so urgent. And we do not need to wait for resources and production level to hold things up and be a bottleneck. So we're going to push it out, and I want to stay on schedule for those of you that are loyal listeners. And I'm going to keep my intro short, do my rambling on the other side of the conversation, and allow you to hear the good stuff right up front. Today's conversation is with Steve Knight, someone that I've met online and offline. I think we first connected online back in the late 90s, early 2000, in the blogging world when the internet was just forming and the lava was cooling, and we had some conversations online. And my first extended memory of meeting up with him was at a internet ministry conference in Lynchburg, Virginia at Liberty University. And so Steve Knight has gone on quite a spiritual adventure over the past decade or so. Having spent a number of years on the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association team with their internet ministries way early on the curve. And then he's been part of a fast-growing church in Charlotte, North Carolina back in the late 90s, early 2000s that was more contextualized for next-generation ministries. And then now he's more recently been involved in the communication engine of the Emergent Village, and most recently founded the network called Transform Network, connecting and resourcing missional churches in a more organic, unorganized, or shall I say not organized in the traditional way of organization development kind of a network. He's the community architect of that network, and that's what really triggered me to invite him for a conversation here at the Social Media Church, because the church is bigger than the traditional organized 501c3 kind of a church. The church is people who God has called out to represent him and to be what he is all about, the body of Christ. And so I definitely wanted to include some different segments of the church. And what this means is this conversation will be less about tactics and specifics, but more about the philosophy of what it is to be the church, to be a missional church, and how social media can be a tool in facilitating what they are working on in the online and offline worlds that we are all a part of. Listen to this conversation with Steve Knight, and I'll see you on the other side. There's a lot of talk in the mainstream evangelical world, and actually the broader world of Christianity, about the missional church and being missional and having missional community. So help us navigate into your experience with the missional church. What is it and what's going on?
Yeah, you bet. Well, I mean, I think that's, I come from an evangelical background, and so that was my first exposure to any of that sort of language about missional church. came from the evangelical world. But as I kind of find myself now more in the mainline Protestant world, working for a mainline Protestant denomination, it's a conversation that's pretty broad, and it's pretty theologically broad, and there's a lot of definitions. I think that's one of the strengths of missional, but it's also a weakness at the same time. For me, missional, the sort of elevator speech that I typically give is that missional is participating with God in what God is doing in the world. And depending on where you land theologically, you're going to sort of interpret that and define that and activate that in different ways. So you're going to participate with God in, on one end of the spectrum, maybe more traditional evangelism, on another end of the spectrum, social justice, things like that. And everything, in between and kind of even beyond. So that's, to me, if we talk about emergence within Christianity and kind of these kind of major shifts, that social media and the web have been a huge catalyst in kind of, really changing a lot of things, and forcing us to adapt in a lot of different ways. This missional shift is a big part of that. It's a big part of rethinking how we think about the church in relation to what God is doing in the world. And I love this word participatory. That's kind of been a word that I've kind of honed in on, because it's active. It's not about sitting back and receiving. It's about going and doing, and being engaged. And so I think that's what missional is for me. We're part of a local faith community here in our local context, and we're figuring out what does that look like for us. What is God doing here, and how should we be participating in that?
Okay, well, thanks for framing that up. The listeners here at Social Media Church, a lot of them are church leaders in the conventional organized church. And so there's a paid staff who are the pastors, and then there's the congregation or laity and people who participate in the activities that are programmed in the church. And so when you use the word participate, it sounds a lot more autonomous, a lot more individualized, if you will. And how does social media feed into that?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it is a kind of a different spin on this idea of participation, but I would say it's maybe just a different way of organizing than traditional church has done it. It still takes organization. It still takes leadership. It still takes vision and passion and all those same sort of giftings and abilities. So those things, certainly aren't going away. The social media piece, I think, is interesting, is that you have more and more communities. Typically a lot of missional communities are tend to be smaller. They tend to be very local, hyper-local. Focused on a neighborhood or a specific area of a city, as opposed to entire city or something larger, like you might find with a megachurch or something like that. So their use of social media is very hyper local, and it's a way to extend beyond the gathering of the community. There's ways that people do this differently, but even with missional, there is a gathering and there's a sending, and the difference is that it's sort of inverted, where a lot of traditional church is focused on the gathering, on the sort of weekly worship event. With missional, it's sort of trying to turn that outward and say we gather to be sent, and the focus is really on the Monday through Saturday or whatever day of the week that gathering happens. So then social media is used to help connect the community throughout the week and talk about things that are happening in home groups or different events in the community that people are engaged with.
Okay, so let me do a compare and contrast. So in a conventional church, internet technologies and social media is used as a means of extending their broadcast of the packaged and branded and prepared teachings of that particular organized church. And so social media becomes the carrier and the link to messages, the link to discussion guides, the link to events, and that's just pushed out. And so people virally send out prepared content. And so how's that different in the church that is being sent and social media is being used in a sending mode rather than a gathering mode?
Well, I think for both kinds of communities, if they're doing social media right, they're using social media as a listening platform, not just a broadcast platform. So I would hope that the more traditional churches that are doing that, that are using social media to amplify and expand their message, are also listening. And the ones that I see doing that, they're good at both. They're really paying attention and they're engaging and there is conversation going on. I would say for the smaller missional communities, it is more focused on dialogue and conversation and relationship on a smaller scale. And so that's social media works and functions well for that, as well as for sort of amplifying and spreading a bigger message. So I guess that would maybe be the main difference, but you know, I think both should be, if they're doing it well, listening and engaging and participating in conversation.
Okay. Describe a little more of how you do that kind of active listening on social media. What tools are you using and what are you listening for and how do you respond?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, my sort of main tool that I use is Hootsuite. To follow, a number of different Twitter accounts that I manage, update Facebook from there. You can, I do that occasionally, primarily through hashtags. There's a missional hashtag. There's, a number of different hashtags. Here in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a CLT hashtag. If I want to see kind of what people are talking about in my city, there's a hashtag for your city and you can see what people are talking about. There's a hashtag for your local neighborhood or community. So there's ways that you can engage through those hashtags to really connect with other people. I just connected with somebody right here in my city yesterday who's on Twitter and a local mom/bartender and found her through the Gastonia hashtag and so we're following each other on Twitter now that's the primary thing I would say.
Hashtags are great for people that are familiar with Twitter. There's still a lot of people on Twitter who don't understand hashtags. Talk a bit about blogging. How has that factored into your community and also your own voice? Because you've been blogging for a long time. Blogging has been credited or blamed for this whole emergent church conversation, some of which has happened online, but I find a lot of it actually happens on the ground. And online is kind of the tip of the iceberg to just give you a glimpse that, hey, there's something happening over here and you can join in on our occasional on the grounds gathering. Talk a bit about that.
Wow. Yeah. So my sort of relationship with blogging has definitely evolved and changed over the years. It used to be, I would say prior to Facebook, it used to be the place where every little, link to an interesting article or website or, that was where it would go. And then sort of Facebook has kind of taken over that. And in my personal blogging, I guess a few years ago, I really shifted to, I'm really only going to post something on my personal blog if it's a longer, more thoughtful, thought out, something I want to say. I kind of made that shift, but I've kind of shifted back to trying to just be more consistent, talk about certain topics specifically. I a few months ago, I started blogging specifically on the missional church for Patheos.com. And so all of the sort of missional church that I had been posting on my personal blog, I've shifted over to the Patheos blog and sort of my personal brand, if you will, the categories that I sort of try to limit myself to in my personal blogging are telling stories and throwing parties, which is still pretty broad categories the way that I define them. It gives me a lot of latitude to still talk about a lot of different things that I care about and interested in. But those things go on the personal blog, and all of this sort of missional church stuff goes over to the Pathios blog now. So I have two blogs that I'm doing, and occasionally write for Huffington Post. And those are other things that I somehow make the decision that will fit Huffington Post better than my personal blog. So
now that you're in the Pathios neighborhood, what is Pathios? It's kind of been a fast rising online community that has recently shown up, drawing a lot of church and religious leaders over there. What's going on?
Yeah. So it's the tagline for Pathios is hosting the conversation on faith. So it's a multi-faith web portal. You know, folks who remember BeliefNet a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, was bought out by some folks, and the site sort of the energy around it's kind of shifted, and Pathios has just kind of emerged. It's an internet startup out of Colorado that's kind of just come out of nowhere, raised a lot of VC money to make it happen, gotten a lot of pretty high profile bloggers from the atheist community, from the Muslim community, from the evangelical community, people like Scott McKnight and others, from the progressive Christian community. And so it's this pretty broad platform. It's, you know, I, one of the things that's emerged for me over the last 5 to 7 years has been a commitment toward interfaith dialogue and understanding. And so being able to participate in a web platform that is doing that, has been great.
One of the things I'm curious about and wondering, in your multitude of missional networks, I was thinking, looking at just some of your links, you're kind of like the NASCAR brand with all these different networks that you're a part of and wearing different hats and different roles. I'm not sure how you manage all of those brands and names, but I think you're doing okay.
Thank you.
But that aside, where have you seen good engaging conversations that are not centered around one person? Do you see good discussion boards or other modes of facilitating church leaders' participation?
That's an interesting question.
Besides the on-the-ground conversations.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation. This is what your question makes me think of. I just was having this conversation with Kathy Escobar, who is co-pastor of a church in Colorado called The Refuge. And she was just here with us here in Charlotte for a learning party that we hosted for about 40, 50 people. And she and I were talking. She's been a part of the leadership team for a thing called Transform Network, which is a missional community formation network that we started 3 years ago. And the focus of Transform, one of these hats, one of these NASCAR patches I have on, is regional gatherings and then an online space to help people get connected, share questions, share resources. But the regional gatherings, this is a big shift I've seen happening, in a sense, away from the larger national conferences towards these smaller, more regional gatherings. Because the reality is people are busy, they've got their heads down, they're doing their own thing, they're focused on, you know, just trying to, you know, do what they're called to do. And even the people who are in their own cities, who are doing similar things and have similar hearts and passions, they don't get to spend time with them. They don't really connect with them. And so these smaller regional gatherings are helping to facilitate that. We're going to be doing another Transform regional event in Fort Worth, Texas next April. April 5 and 6, and I'm excited about that, bringing sort of missional practitioners from that region together. You know, one of the other patches I have on is Wild Goose Festival. Wild Goose Festival, I'm part of the local planning team for Wild Goose. It's been an East Coast festival the last couple of years, but we just did a West Coast festival. I think that's a big thing. And the web, you know, I haven't seen too many more of these, but these ideas of doing these sort of online conferences one day, kind of like the Nines, some of the things that Leadership Network has done, I think are really intriguing, and I, you know, I've kicked around ideas with folks about trying to do something similar to that. I think there's a opportunity there that could be really, really beneficial. So.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is wide open. In the business world, there's a lot of things happening in the sense of webinars.
Yep.
So just being able to present and having a conversation around a presentation, it's always helpful to have a conversation starter rather than just putting 20 people on a Google Plus Hangout, for example, and say, people looking at each other as, well, what do we talk about?
Exactly.
And I guess in the more progressive side of Christianity, the one example that comes to mind is the Ooze. They've really fostered a message thread kind of conversation about faith. And as you described, just kind of run through your head about examples of where online conversations have really taken off, where people are invited in, people can come in and out. It's challenging to do. And this is where I wanted to tap into some of your wisdom and experience as a community architect. Because that seemed to connote a way to facilitate online community where people are connecting online as well as offline.
Right.
So describe what that role would look like and how you facilitate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a title that I gave myself. I stole it from a friend of mine who had that title at Zappos, actually, Thomas Knoll, who was an early blogger as well. To me, it connotes, just like you're saying, this idea of how do we use the tools and the technologies as effectively as possible to foster the greatest amount of engagement, conversation, and participation. And I can't say that I've been able to do that extremely well with the Transform Network site in recent months because of other pressing responsibilities and things that I've had. But
I should interject: Transform Network runs on a software called Ning,
right?
Which is like a private social network. And Ning used to be a freemium model where you had launch a free social network for your own whatever topic, and now it's a paid only model, and they have over 1 million private social networks.
And they
provide a number of great tools if people would use it.
And it's hung in there because there are some benefits to it that supersede just having a Facebook group, although I'm a part of a number of Facebook groups where there is a much higher level of participation and engagement and involvement. There's actually, for the Emergent Village Network, there's an Emergent Village Facebook group that is incredibly active with, I want to say, a dozen posts a day and comments galore. So Facebook groups are really a great way. Because it seems like, having a Facebook account is almost ubiquitous at this point. And so it's much easier. With Ning, you have to set up another account. It's another thing for people to manage. But if it's used well, there are definitely benefits to it. And we're still using both.
Okay, so let's talk about your latest venture, SoGo Media. Is that related to social media and missional church?
It is. So SoGo is a new kind of Christian television network on YouTube that will be launching in October with a number of video bloggers, shows from different video contributors that I'm really excited about. The idea sprung out of just what I had been reading about Google's plans for YouTube since really the beginning of this year. And some of the statistics about the growth of YouTube were really just astounding. So for folks who, may not be aware, YouTube is the second largest search engine after Google, and Google owns YouTube. So Google owns the top two search engines. but there's actually 72 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. If you think about that, that's more than 3 days of video uploaded every minute. And YouTube just turned 7 years old a few months ago. And in the last year, it's actually grown by 50%. And so there seems to be this exponential growth that YouTube is experiencing. Again, it's driven by mobile devices. We've got video capabilities on our phones all times to upload that stuff. YouTube's got a great platform that makes it super easy.
And we're having this conversation on a YouTube platform.
And we are. Yeah, because Google Plus Hangout on Air goes straight to your YouTube channel now. So there's all the reasons why this is happening. But the thing that struck me was this idea of curation. As volume, massive volumes of content get uploaded to the web and uploaded to YouTube, the role of the curator becomes that much more important. And I just started looking around and asking myself, who is curating the religion and spirituality space on YouTube? Because at least two of the biggest viral videos of this year alone were religion or spirituality based, right? The Invisible Children, Coney 2012 video, and the Jefferson Bethke, I Love Jesus But Hate Religion, spoken word video, which, by the way, he has just signed a book deal with Thomas Nelson. So he went from spoken word artist to viral video star to, published author. And so I just started looking around, and a lot of the Christian media outlets that I saw had YouTube channels where they were uploading a video here or a video there, but it was more content, and it wasn't really curating and helping filter and sift through all the existing stuff that was there and helping people find that. Now, a lot of that happens naturally already. You find this stuff will find you through Facebook and Twitter. Your friends will find that interesting video and they'll share it with you. But for every one of those that you actually see, there's probably a dozen that you would be as much more interested in or excited about that you never see because there's just lost in the sea.
And in fact, content. There is no category for religion or spirituality on YouTube.
That's right. That's right.
So, and there's no place for that content to live, much less get curated.
Right. So that was the original impetus was to really sort of try to take a hold of this space, this religion and spirituality space on YouTube, and do that role of curation. And at the same time, we have connections with all of these great voices, with people who are sharing great ideas, and so we wanted to create a channel. Like some of the new kinds of YouTube channels. This is the other piece that Google is really trying to compete with broadcast television. The average amount of time people watch TV is like 2 or 3 hours a day, and the average amount of time people spend on YouTube is much less than that. I think it's like 15 minutes a day or something like that. And so Google's driven on advertising, and in order to do that, they need to have higher quality content and longer form content, and that's what Google is been moving people towards on YouTube, and so creating new channels, new higher quality longer form video channels, and so that's what we're trying to kind of move into that space, create a channel with a number of these different voices. And also do this curation piece. And I think all of that together, I think it's going to be something pretty unique and original, and hopefully, we'll be there first and we'll do it the best, and it'll be a successful venture. So I'm excited.
Oh, very cool. And we'll put a link to Soga Media in the show notes. So when it comes to organizing church, I think the two sticking points that are very difficult to navigate and to figure out is the economic engine or finances.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to organizing, it's about a big piece of it is who gets paid to do the organizing and to do the content generating and distribution. And then the second big piece of the budget pie is facilities. Where do people can they physically meet? And so for the missional church context that you're in, how do you work with those issues?
This is one of the biggest questions that everybody is still really wrestling with, because it is a different model. And if you're an existing sort of membership driven church and looking to move in a missional direction, it'll force you to ask some of these questions about what do we do with budgets and buildings and things like that. Because Reggie McNeil says, it's a different scorecard for success. But yeah, there are bills to pay. And one of the things that's deeply concerning to me is folks who want to do missional church, but they don't want to think hard about sustainability. I think there's a healthy way of saying that a faith community can have a life cycle that churches and faith communities are not necessarily meant to exist forever and ever, amen. But at the same time, when you're trying to get something started, when you're trying to, use the language of a startup, you need funding. You need resources to get something off the ground, and then you need to have a model for sustainability if you want it to go and grow. So there's all kinds of different models that people are exploring. I think a lot of missional communities, like our local community here, start off with no building and really no paid staff, and are really looking to keep things, do a lean startup, where they keep the costs very low. But to have hopefully high community involvement and engagement, and use existing spaces, use third spaces, meet in coffee houses and bars and theaters and things like that. Whatever works in your local context.
Well, here in Southern Cal, we can just meet outside because it's always sunny and 70.
There you go. and I know people who do that. I mean, folks up in Portland, Home PDX is a homeless church. Folks meet out in parks and things like that. So, I mean, it's people are doing that. But the thing that I feel like I have to interject, because I was just in a conversation about this recently, is this whole question of fundraising for missional church, and do you ask people to tithe and to donate? And I really feel like if people it's sort of like, is there buy-in on the vision for what this community is about and what this community is trying to do together in participating together in God's mission in the neighborhood, then you got to talk about the financial stuff, and you can't sweep it under the rug, and you've got to be able to say, if we want to be able to do X, Y, and Z, whatever X, Y, and Z are, we need money to do those things. And so let's talk about that, and who can step up and who has resources, because people do, and people just need to be asked. But I think it's getting harder and harder to ask people to pay for buildings and salaries and things like that, because the desire is for social change and for positive social change and really making an impact in the neighborhood and the community. Plenty of people will give to support church just for their own spiritual growth and all that, and but I think there's more and more people who are desiring, I want to give to something that I see is making a difference beyond me and my family, that's making a difference right here in the neighborhood, right here in the community. And so missional churches need to make the case for what that looks like and then fall through.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing some of your thoughts. It is a tough thing that people are wrestling with, so I wanted to get a little inside scoop that you've raised more questions than answered in true emergent form.
That's right. It's been great just tracking with you, DJ, over the years. I'm excited about what you're doing with Social Media Church, and I appreciate you inviting me to come on.
Thank you, Steve, for chatting with us here on the Social Media Church. Always great to connect with you and to hear that you have held on to your faith and that it is flourishing and taking you in unimagined territories. And thank you for sharing that along with us through social media and all the various channels that are available to us here in 2012. I wanted to ramble a bit and give you a personal update on what's happening with me as it pertains to social media. So I'm in the middle of 2 weeks of back-to-back travel. And for me, last week I was in Dallas with Leadership Network, a part of their innovation lab for churches doing internet ministry. And I'll link to some of the churches that were part of that have really benefited from those gatherings over the past year and a half. And there's another innovation lab coming up next September. So that would be September of 2013 for social media and communication. And since they used two out of the three words of this podcast title, I thought I'd make a mention there. And there will be a link in the show notes. And the collaboration process of the Leadership Network Innovation Lab is unlike any other because they create a space for you and your team to dream, to strategize in a room with five other church leadership teams. And so it's not a conference where you hear from speaking heads. It's a hands-on work session where you really get to take home things that will be implemented and work in your context and to be in a room with your peers to really kick around your ideas to make sure that you put forth the best ideas and plans for potential success. And this morning, I'm actually en route to Chicago, where I'll be part of a multi-ethnic church network retreat called Mosaics with an X. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see what Mosaics is all about. This is our fifth annual retreat, and they are part of a network, a relational network, that is resourcing the church at large to help them diversify and to contextualize ministry and the gospel for a diverse community. If you just open your eyes when you go to the grocery store or look around in your schools, you will see a lot of racial and ethnic diversity almost everywhere in the United States now. And it's still a bit surprising that churches, by and large, do not look like that. Less than 10% of the evangelical church is ethnically and racially diverse, and that's kind of an indictment, you might say, now that we're in the 21st century and post-civil rights, that we haven't made more strides in that. We'd love to hear from you and how this conversation about social media and the missional church provoked you. How you're using social media in your church, and it's not a conversation if you're not a part of it. So you can connect with us at socialmediachurch.net, and we have plenty of social media buttons there on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, voicemail number you can call in on if you're just listening and you've really got some thoughts that are stirring in you. Call it in and leave a message on voicemail, incorporate it into a future episode. The number is 949-354-3216. Be that first caller, and we'll have more fire added to the conversation here at Social Media Church. And that brings us to a close of episode number 16. This is a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. We'll stay connected with you online.